can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Hey, it's great to have you with us, streaming on YouTube and right here on the free Odyssey app. It is Al and Jerry and the post. What's up, Al?
Jerry, we are not on YouTube.
But where are the cameras?
It's still, I don't know. We tested it one day. It seemed to work. And then they it's funny. The cameras are still at my desk. But the other day, a engineer came and took the laptop. He goes, yeah, we need this.
I go, okay. Oh, well, fantastic then. What's going on, man?
We're still here, Jerry, as an audio-only podcast.
That's right.
Good morning, everybody. Yesterday on the podcast, I was sitting here with one Eddie Scazzeri,
yes.
And I actually had a message from somebody that asked, he said the next time you have Eddie on, and with Jerry, if you could do this as well, is could you tell us what it is you do on a daily basis behind the scenes? And Eddie gave his explanation and what time he wakes up, how he's does stuff sort of the night before, that sort of thing. So I thought, well, let me get Jerry in here. And
did
I said,
you give
this,
your routine as well?
I did give my routine as well.
All right.
So I feel like we need your routine, Jerry.
All right. Well, my alarm goes off at 2:42 to be exact.
Well, let me ask you this first, because both Eddie and I think we do both of us do this out of not out of necessity, but out of like just trying to help the next morning for ourselves. Mm-hmm. But Eddie and I both start doing stuff sometimes in the afternoon just to make I don't know why exactly. Well, right. I know my mind. I feel like I have too many. There's too much weeding of news stories that I want to that are useless that I have to weed through. And if I wait until the next morning, it's way too much to get through. Do you have that in your situation?
I do. I watch the games.
Interesting. So when are these on?
7 o'clock.
The football and baseball games?
Well, I mean, football basketball. Games will start a little later, but hockey and baseball and basketball, those games start either at 7:05 or 7:30, and I usually will try and stay up until anywhere between 8 and 9:30, depending upon the game and the sleep I had the night before, or if I had a nap that afternoon, it all goes into the planning. But other than that, no, I don't. I'm actually running around with my kids. And
I see.
Actually, don't be insulted. I actually have things to do during the day. So I don't.
So then your alarm, you said, goes off at what time?
2:42.
2:42. It's an interesting number.
Yeah, I don't know why. I settled on that one.
2:42.
And then I have the second alarm set for 2:48, the third alarm for 2:54, and the emergency alarm at 3.
And then you're out of your house, ideally?
3.
At 3.
Yeah.
You're here by 4.
I get here 4:45.
4:45.
Because it gives me 15 minutes to look for parking.
Okay.
When I'm lucky like today and I pull up and a guy literally pulls out of a spot and I park, I'm at my desk at 3:45.
Okay.
Which was good. And then there are, so a day like today, I shut off the baseball game last night in the third inning at 4-0, I believe. I thought the way Cole was pitching, 4-0, I just thought the Yankees were going to cruise. So then I wake up to a text message from a friend of mine who was furious about what happened. I'm like, uh-oh. Now I look, I see they lost. Now I know my routine is changing. It's not just skimming through the game. Now I got to go watch the game. So luckily with the parking spot, I come in, I go to MLB.tv, I pull up the game, and I literally saw every pitch of that game from 3:45 until about, probably finished it at 4:20, I would say. Wrote my notes as I was watching the game so I knew what to pull from. Then I put together what I would call a skeleton of sports that I put together for the show. And then I come in here from 5 to 6 with you. 6 o'clock, I go out and I start editing, and I stopped editing it at 9 a.m. as I'm literally putting together each hour.
So how do you weed through all the sound? That's my question. Like, there seems to be so many things.
So
let me ask you this. Do you use, like, now that Twitter exists, a lot of places will post edited versions of the post game, right? Mm-hmm. So instead of having 10 minutes of Gerrit Cole, somebody might put out a post or two with just one question answer. Do you use those or do you go through the whole thing?
So I will tell you, for the 6:30 report, I either use what's in the system, and quite frankly, there wasn't much this morning. So what I did this morning was I go to there are certain, like you're saying, if I go to SNY's Yankee page or I go to the Yes Network page for Twitter, they post a lot of clips. So for 6:30, I knew the fifth inning was obviously a big deal. And I also knew that Juan Soto was a big deal. So I immediately went to those two sites, mostly the Yes Network stuff, where they post significant clips. And that's what I used for 6:30. When I got out of here at 6:40, from 6:42 until about 7:05, I actually went through the entire 7 minutes of Aaron Judge and came up with like 12 clips of on my own. And I got through half of Soto. So I had that to work on. Well, no, I did Cole first, Cole and part of Judge. So I had a lot of that for 7:30. Then I had a lot of Soto for 8:30. And I was still editing stuff at 9 for 9:30. And so, and that's why, to me, the day today was like 5 seconds.
So if you have a post-game sound that's 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
And there's a number of good cuts in there. How long does that take you to go through, cut, and know that you can use those now?
Well, so a couple things. One, as long as the interview has been saved already in the system, I can go right to editing. And I did have that today. That helped. And Marco usually does that for me. The issue is when I've got to go record the 7 or 8 minutes and I'm losing all that time.
Oh, 'cause you
got
to do that in real time.
Yeah. So I can edit fast. I've been doing it for 30 years. I know how to edit and I can do it quickly. When I've got to record and then edit, now it takes double time and that's problematic. But I hear something. I know what I'm looking for. I know what I hear when I hear something I think's good. I stop it. I edit it. I put it in the system. It's saved. Move on. And I delete it. So I keep going. And then you see the file getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
And then are you writing an update or are you just...
I stopped writing updates, I would say, what's this, 2024?
2024 we're in.
Craig left us in 17. I probably stopped writing updates in 2014 because of him.
So you just, you go in with a skeleton of sound that you're going to play and yeah. You just talk around it extemporaneously off your head?
So I have the skeleton of information, I would say. And then I talk off the top of my head. I don't read anything, which is why I stumble a lot and you're trying to find words. And but what I do is I try to build a story with the audio. Like I wouldn't play Aaron Judge talking about Juan Soto, then Aaron Judge talking about the fifth inning error, then, you know, Aaron Judge talking about next season and then come back to Juan Soto. I try and keep it all together and build like a little bit of a story, if you will.
So if you were talking about the Yankee fifth inning, you would have everyone talking about that fifth inning.
Correct.
And then if something happened in the ninth inning, you might have those same people.
Could absolutely do that.
Instead of just here's all the Aaron Judge sound, here's all the Juan Soto sound.
And then have all the Soto stuff at the end and have that all come together. And to me, it's like piece by piece. It kind of, not chronologically, but there's an order to it at least. So that's how I try and do that. I will tell you today, I edited all of Soto, all of Judge, all of Cole, Anthony Rizzo, a little bit of Giancarlo Stanton and Alex Verdugo. Like, that's what I was doing throughout the course of the morning and then got to J.J. Watt. And that's the thing that sucks. Like, to me, the J.J. Watt sound should have been ready for 6:30. You know, the Russo stuff should have been ready for... Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to run it at 6:30, but, like, that should all be ready like it's been in the past. Well, it's a different world now. We don't have the help we used to have, so get it when we can get it. And that drives me nuts when I hear them say something and I have it on the list to get it and I just haven't got to it yet. It's like, oh. Kills me.
So you lost in various, you know, business cuts over the years. You lost the person who was...
I had a tape op.
...out in the room editing sound for you.
Yeah, so back in the day, and it started with Imus, there was a tape editor that worked from 2 a.m. to 10 a.m. Your job was to be in at 2 so that all the sound was ready and prepared for 6 o'clock when the show started. And then you were there. I swear to you, from 6 to 10, you did nothing unless news broke and you had a fine sound. You worked your ass off from 2 to like 5:40, I would say. Then when Imus was gone and Boomer and Carton came in, we kept the morning tape up, which was very valuable. And then as I started anchoring in the morning, I mean, having Lopresti as my anchor, Dan Cronin, I think, first, and then Lopresti, me and Chris, I swear to God, shared one brain. It was phenomenal. It was the same thing. I don't think it was 2 to 10. I think it was 3 to 11 for that. Then we've had Max Herman we had. We had Tommy Lugauer, who I think was the last one.
Oh, yeah, Tommy Lugauer.
Remember Nick, who went to be a lawyer?
Yep.
We had Nick. He was our tape op. So we had, they would get in at 3:30. It's funny how it kept going up and up, went from 2 to 3 to 3:30. And then Tommy really pushed it to 4. Max Herman pushed it to 4:30, which drove me nuts. But to their credit, they got the work done by 6 o'clock, 6:30 the latest. And then they really had nothing to do the rest of the morning. And Bob Dwyer was here to help. Then we eliminated the tape op, which was killer, and they asked Bob to do it. And that was fine. He cut tape a little differently, but it was still there. And then he was let go. And it's me.
Not only that, but then they added the warm-up show, which took away your 5 to 6 o'clock hour.
So I've never altered when I've gotten in. I've always gotten in around 4. I guess when I had a tape op, I got in about 4:15. But I didn't do anything until 6:20. Well, 6 o'clock, I used to do the top of the hour, which was 2 minutes. But then 6:20 was like the big time to play all the sound with Craig and Boomer, and then with Boomer and Geo. Then Mark gave us the 5:45, which was fine, 5:45 to 6, not that big a deal. And still I had Bob cutting tape. Then we went to 5 to 6, still had Bob cutting tape. Then Bob was gone. We had 5 to 6, and I lost all of that time and production and sound and my hair, as it's turned
Your
out.
Your hair fell out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, no,
I'm not complaining.
A ton.
It's a lot, though. It's a lot. And Tay's like, today when I come in and the work's not done, I pulled in Al Dukes, and for the first time since I've been working here, fired off a complaint email.
Nice.
Because I was very angry.
Because you felt like that we didn't have enough sound from the previous night's jobs.
It's not like if you look in the system, you're like, all right, there's like 10, 12 clips. That's fine, but they weren't relevant clips. You know, there were main storylines in that game that needed to be told, and we didn't have those clips. And that, to me, like when I've got a 7 or 8 minute chunk of Aaron Judge in there that the tape op clearly saved to go back and get clips, and there's two Aaron Judge cuts that have nothing to do with the fifth inning or Juan Soto or the fact that they, I mean, I got 12 cuts. Like, God, when we were tape ops, you can ask Kazaria this. If you were on duty the night of an NBA, NHL, MLB playoff game, we would be here till 3 a.m. and we would not leave until everything was cut up. Now it's like, oh, I got a couple of him, got one of him, got the first guy. Oh, I'm good. I got to go. It's like, damn, man. It's different.
Yeah. And which is better for you? You like, so which will be more work? When you showed up this morning after a World Series elimination game for a local?
Yeah.
Or tomorrow morning NFL game, Jets?
To me, neither one should have been a lot. To me, they both should have been very easy because there should be a ton in there. The hardest days are the days where there's nothing going on and you've got to go out and find stuff. Those are the hard days.
Like on
like a Wednesday.
Next Tuesday.
Yeah, okay, fine. So I was going to say a Wednesday where none of our local teams played. There's no football. And it's like, all right, what do? You got to get creative. And that's where I have a list of things on my wall by my desk. What podcast, like, go find the Shannon Sharp podcast, see if there's clips with Ocho Cinco. Check the All the Smoke podcast with Steven Jackson and I'm blanking out his name, but that guy. Check McAfee. Check TMZ Sports. Check Bar. That's where you come up with other stuff. Days like today, I knew I wouldn't have time for that, so I didn't go out and search for anything. I did look on your show sheet at the bottom to look for fun stuff, and that's where I saw the J.J. Watt, so I knew to look for that. But the hardest days are the days where there's not much locally going on the night before. Those are tough.
Yeah.
This is a lot of work, but it's easy, meaning the content's there. When there's no content and you got to cut it up, not fun.
And then what do you do? Like, you roll up here on a Monday morning, let's say. You had the NFL on Sunday.
Yeah. Also very easy.
And then, but if... like what was going on with the Mets and the Yankees playoff runs, you were having Friday night games, Saturday night games, Sunday potential baseball games, plus the NFL slate, and you'd come in on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you weed through all that?
For one, the Friday and Saturday games are discussed by the hosts. At that point, I'm not playing sound from 2 days ago. That is if...
unless it was something wild.
Yeah, for sure. You could definitely replay it, yes. Yeah. But in that case, you're probably leading with the football on Sunday, and then you're getting into the preview for the Monday night game because they were probably off Sunday. You kind of prioritize. But the football stuff is easy for me because of me working the Compass Media Network broadcast. I've done the scoreboards. I followed every game. I kind of know what's important. So I know when I come in here, I bring my score sheet with me. So I know what I want to do, and I try and like highlight, aside from our local teams, maybe three other games each update. So maybe I'll get to 9 different games throughout the course of the day.
Do you think this is a teachable skill for somebody? Like if let's say you were retiring, or we were starting a sports station in another city that doesn't have a sports station right now, and they said, Jerry, we like what you do with the updates.
Yeah, I think you could train people to do it this way, sure.
Yeah.
I think that's my biggest frustration, too, when someone comes in here. Like, when CeeLo comes in, I know when I'm hosting and CeeLo is sitting here, I know if we throw to him at 25 after the hour, he's going to 40. I know he is. Because even if things are moving quickly, he's got a lot of different stuff to pull from. My frustration is when you have that kind of built in, the way Craig built it in, and a long time ago told me, take all the time you need. You have until 40 after the hour. That's kind of like your time. When you're hosting then, and then someone comes in here, and at 31, they're like, and that's it. I'm like, what? I think that's it. You only did 5 minutes. And they're looking at you like, yeah, I'm done. Like, then you got 9 minutes left. And I've had that happen many times.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes even, or I'll give you one, and this was my fault. Me and Kim Jones hosting about 5 or 6 summers ago, and John Minko was in doing updates. I thought I kind of explained to him what I was looking for, and I threw to him, and it was nothing going on. It was in July around the All-Star time. Wasn't the All-Star, but it was around that time. And he came in, and he did like 1 Met highlight, 1 Met postgame sound, 1 Yankee highlight, 1 Yankee postgame sound, and then said, and that's sports. I'm like, John, it's 6:30. No, that's not sports. Talk for 10 more minutes.
You need 10 more minutes of actual sports here.
And he was done. And I looked at Kim, I'm like, oh my God, that's now, like I had the show ready, but it was ready for my content, top of the hour and at 45. The middle was supposed to be this. And when this was gone, so was I.
Yeah, I think that's what's really interesting about the morning show compared to the other 4-hour show shifts is that I would think you take a lot of, you take a full segment, really, where, not that Boomer and Gio are not participating, clearly they are, but they don't have to be the ones to, it's more off the cuff for them.
They can just sit back and react.
Sit back and react, yeah.
Yeah.
Versus, like, the afternoon show has, they
sure
have to do all of those full segments on their own. Now, yeah. I suppose they could also say, hey, once an hour, not call it an update, but once an hour, we're going to do audio.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is a good idea.
Yeah.
I do think that's a good idea.
Yeah, because it breaks up the morning show nicely, I feel like, because even if Boomer and Gio in the first segment of the hour are talking about something that there is audio of,
mm-hmm.
it's nice to come back the next segment and play it.
It's just, almost like they're teasing it.
Yeah, and it's also another way to do, you know, in radio, we do the same topic over and over again because people are dropping in and dropping out and dropping. So if you do it all right there in that one segment you're talking about, then it's kind of dead.
Yeah.
Where if you talk about it first, get your opinion, then come back, here's the sound, our reaction to the sound.
And, yeah.
I don't know. It's just so, I don't know why they wouldn't do that on all shows.
I happen to agree with you. And I think the fact that it would be once an hour, it's like a built-in, to me, it's almost like one of those benchmark types of things that people know is coming up. Like if you listen in the morning, I think you know if you tune in at 30 after the hour, you're going to hear audio. It's not just going to be us talking.
Right.
And I do think having an element like that, and I do think it would be good for the rest of, I think Amy Lawrence does a good job with that. I listen to her sometimes driving in, and I think at, she do it at 3:30 a.m., I believe, where she will run through the sounds of the day.
But she's hosting that.
Yeah, because her anchor is on tape at that point. I think she does a really good job. Well, I guess Marco is there live, but she does a lot of that sound herself. And it's, I think it's good, especially for her. She's doing a national show, so she can pick from all different sports. But it's good. It's busy.
I think the, you know, on the days where there's not a lot of local play-by-play or games that happened and you go through the podcast, that's an interesting thing too, because there are so many sports podcasts.
Too much.
By very relevant people. Mm-hmm. It's not like just two dudes talking sports. It's, right. You know, guys with who've played the game and popular podcasts that it's impossible to get through. So if you are able, if I'm a listener and I'm in the car and I hear a couple clips of Shannon Sharp, I'm going to sit through the entire McAfee show. I get a couple clips here. You know, I think that's another thing that maybe when we took away updates from some of the other day parts, the interactive updates, that that could be used for in those things as well, or playing those things.
Yeah, probably. I mean, there is, as you say, the podcasts aren't just for hosts anymore. They're for athletes, former athletes, current athletes. Like the idea that Micah Parsons every Tuesday does his own thing, or even Monday afternoon, I guess
in
he does
season.
It. In season, and talks for 2 hours. Like there's like if I was a Cowboy fan and I didn't want to, and that would probably be an interesting podcast in and of itself, pick a team and put together clips of all the podcasts surrounding that team. I think that would be very interesting because I don't know that I want to listen to Micah Parsons for 2 hours, but I might be interested in what his take was on their loss in San Francisco, their take on Trayvon Diggs, but I don't need all the other crap. And then maybe I want to hear from, I mean, whoever else is doing podcasts. But I just think there's...
like a podcast of clips of the same topic.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
So you might even grab Russo and Stephen A. Smith, just the part where they're talking about the Cowboys.
Could do that.
In the Cowboys podcast.
Yeah. It's like a niche podcast about the Cowboys from all different angles that do include some Cowboys, like Micah Parsons,
yeah,
which is pretty wild. But I think one of the things, too, where you have to decide, you know, at least in my opinion, and this failed and burned last week, crashed and burned, is when you listen to these podcasts, trying to come up with something that's either A, newsworthy, or B, entertaining. And so I can't stand Skip Bayless as much as anybody. But as an example, I tried playing a Skip Bayless clip last week about him having his colonoscopy, and the first clip was to set it up. When I tell you, when Marco Belletti told me about this audio, he was like a three-year-old. He was so excited for me to play it for them because it was clips of Skip talking about, you know, poop water shooting out his butt like a machine gun. Like saying things, and it just, this is a 65-year-old guy. It sounded ludicrous. So the first clip I played to kind of set it up, Boomer's like, not interested in Skip Bayless. Why is his colonoscopy more important than ours? I'm like, okay, guess we're not going to get to there. And I could see in his face, and I kind of feel like I know them, he wasn't interested.
He didn't want to hear about Skip Bayless.
That was a fail. I thought it was going to be pretty funny. Complete fail. And that does happen. You take a chance, it doesn't work.
Yeah, so and other things you think, well, I'm not even sure if I will play this. And you play, and it's a huge hit.
For sure, yeah. Like, there was something yesterday where I played. Maybe it was Mike Tomlin. I played, which sometimes Tomlin's just good. Sometimes he's there to be made fun of. I thought I played one that was just good, and G had a really funny line. I don't remember what it was, but I was like, oh, that was, I didn't expect that. And that's the other thing about the sound, too. I do try to pick sound that will garner a react. I felt like I was in pretty good sync with Craig for the most part with G2. Sometimes I miss on it though, but I try to pick sound out that's going to get a good reaction and something funny out of him.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to Eddie about that yesterday, about just even things to like put on the show sheet. If Mike Tomlin says something that's really not, it's okay. You think, well, Gio does a Mike Tomlin impression, so maybe it'll spark something, or a Russo or a Adam Shine. One of the things I'm happy that the company is not against, and I could definitely have seen this a number of years ago, them not wanting us to do this, is playing clips from other radio shows, like Russo, like Sirius XM shows. Yep. You get Russo, you get Adam Shine, like them going, nah, we're promoting.
That is true.
But we're in a different space now as far as, I don't think you can take things off the table that could be interesting to your audience.
And entertaining.
And entertaining.
I also think it's forward thinking. And this is not a knock on anybody, but our previous regime before Spike, meaning Mark, was very set in his ways. And he was old school. I mean, he was around the business for 50 years. And I get that. Spike was very forward thinking and didn't care. Spike was like, if it's funny, play it. And I'll deal with all the other crap later. And Ryan's been the same way. Like, if it's funny, play it. You know, and then if someone complains, meaning another station.
Right.
He's like, I'll deal with it. But as long as you give them credit, just play it.
Yeah, that's how I always feel like. As long as you give credit, and it's, you're not playing a full show, you're looking at a very short clip.
Yep.
It is more. It is to me. I would look at it like, oh, they're I'm getting my.
Couldn't agree with you more.
And it's funny too, because I feel like guys like Russo, Russo's on television. He's on ESPN. He's on MLB. But like Mike, if you aren't playing clips of Mike, there's a good chunk of the people who used to listen to him that probably wouldn't hear Mike anymore.
Probably, yeah.
Because you'd have to go find that podcast.
Yeah.
Remember to listen to it and listen to it consistently. So I think you're keeping alive some of the old WFAN
might be
voices.
I will say his YouTube show from last night. So I do check the numbers. I think YouTube, I think they're accurate. They put up how many views a show gets. And I'm sometimes surprised where I'll see like a Sunday night YouTube show that Mike does has like 7,000 views. I'm like, really? Like, I know he's getting paid a lot of money. Like, that's it. I saw last night he did one after the Yankee game. As of this morning, I think it was up at like 65,000 views. So like when big moments, people are still going and finding him. But on a day-to-day basis where you would put him on out of routine and out of what your schedule normally, I think now people don't go out of their way just for a random Tuesday podcast. Right. I don't think anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Used to be consumed that way. You just pop in the car, go to the drugstore, back home, pop in the car, go to the supermarket.
Exactly.
Yeah. It is weird how that's how radio is still consumed.
It is for me.
Yeah.
And I will say, the Odyssey's done a good job, as has a lot of these other, mostly the other stations. Like, there's a lot of times I'm home doing work in my office or whatever, and, you know, hey, Alexa, play WFAN, and bam, there it is. It's pretty. I listen to a lot of times BT and Sal in the afternoon before I go pick up my son from school, you know, and it's crystal clear.
Oh, I love a good,
it's pretty good
app on the Alexa or the Google device.
Pretty good.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up program.
All right.
Oh, it's tomorrow Friday?
It is.
Hell yeah. And today's Halloween, Jerry.
Don't care.
You will not be home.
I have to go to, I'm going straight to Rutgers from here. I have a nice sit down and podcast with Steve Peichel about a season preview,
right?
Which starts next Wednesday.
Will he be in a Halloween costume, you think?
No, he'll be dressed as Steve Peichel. And then from there, I have to get home in time to interview Dalvin Cook.
Oh.
For my Compass Media Network's pregame show for the Cowboys-Falcons game on Sunday. And as soon as I'm done with Dalvin Cook, I am getting in the car and driving to the golf course, and I'm staying there until dark.
Wow.
And
you
got
a full day ahead of you.
Well, I'll be home by 20 after 6. And then hopefully the trick-or-treaters are gone. I can't sit there. I just can't do it. My kids aren't into it now. My kids are old now. Like, I'm done with that. So I will be scarce today.
You'd be hiding.
Yes.
All right, Jerry. Soon!